It's a Mesereau Monday, our final one in February. It's a tough month to say, pronounce. Am I saying that right, Tiffany? I've been saying it all month. February or February?
February. I say February. It's my birth month. I leave that other R out of there.
You leave it? Yes. Well, it's your birth month. You're allowed to. What day were you born?
The 28th.
Oh, my gosh. We're like right here.
We're here.
Tiffany, happy birthday.
Thank you.
29. Congratulations.
29 and always 29.
Exactly. In February or February. Well, that's all the time we have. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's talk a little bit about getting started. I think a lot of people listen to our segments, not just yours, any financial advisor I have on the air or people that are reporters saying save, 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 all this stuff, get ready, retirement, here's the good stuff. I think a lot of people don't even know where to get started, like how to begin doing that, or they feel like it's too late. Dispel that myth for me.
Sure. I think we ended on this note last week on our podcast, but it's never too late to get started. I think it's important at any time to pull together your financial wellness, whatever that looks like, and move forward. I think we're a judgment-free zone at Mesereau, so I think anyone can get started at any time.
If they are a little behind where maybe the average is or where some people are, what is the conversation like? Is it as basic as, let's open the hood of what you spend on? I mean, what is it?
Right. So let's look at where you are and what you have and what we need to get where you want to get to, right? It's a goals conversation. And sometimes they're difficult conversations. It's you started a little late and you're like, I really want to retire at 60. And we do the planning and it's you either have to cut expenses extremely to do that by 60, or maybe it's 65, 66, you know, 67. Like, let's take a realistic look under the hood to see how we can get you there.
And I know that scares some people, like, even away from that conversation, but like any diagnosis at the doctor, once you have a plan, you feel so much better starting to execute that plan.
Well, exactly, because you have to have the plan post-retirement. And where are those distributions and cash flow going to come from? So if you retire too early, right, you're going to find yourself in a difficult situation that you don't want to be in. So let's take a realistic look and figure out what we can do to get you there.
So even couples in their 50s who maybe really don't have much in the bank, you're able to sit down on them and just say, let's at least game plan this out.
Right. Exactly.
Because you're able to probably take advantage of software and different tools that you guys have to show different market environments. What happened to this? If it's a down market, what if it's an up market? What happens if Social Security goes away, right? Like, you guys game plan this stuff.
Right. We have a lot of different scenarios we can put in place once we have the basics in our system, for sure.
I imagine it's about setting good habits, too.
It's all about good money habits and where to begin. And
what again, are some of those?
It's never too late to get started. So we always talk about when you are getting started, where do you begin? And it's pay yourself first, which most people have probably heard of. But we look at a couple different things there. We look at the 50-30-20 rule.
Ooh.
And I'm trying to remember if we talked about this on one of our previous podcasts last year.
Sounds familiar, but let's dive into it.
But anyway, we'll dive into it a little bit. It's really just 50% of your income gets spent on your needs. So looking at what that income
is.
This is all budgeting, by the way.
Is this all pre-tax or post-tax?
This is net of tax.
Okay.
Net of tax, what you're actually bringing into the house, look at 50% spent on your needs, 30% on wants, 20% saved. If you need to be more aggressive with your savings, you can flip those last two. But it's a great way to kind of look at, you know, people need numbers. At least I need numbers. I'm a finance person. But mm-hmm. I think that's very specific, 50, 30, 20.
50 on what you need, 30 on what you want, 20 on savings?
20 on savings.
I think a lot of people have a tough time delineating between needs and wants. And I imagine that's part of the conversation, too.
That is part of the conversation, too. Your needs are your rent, your utility.
Right.
And like, basic living expenses that you absolutely have to have, right?
Your car payment if you have to commute for work.
If you have to commute for work, right? So really, and you need to take a deep dive into those expenses. What are my needs and what are my wants? Where can I make adjustments? I think that's critically important. Thinking about things like when or if I get a bonus or some kind of financial windfall, what do I do with that? Like, don't waste it. Don't spend it right away. If you can put, I would say in that case, don't 50, 30, 20 it. Try to put 50% at least away if you can right away.
Or give it a solid 100.
Or give it a solid 100, right? Yeah. If you don't have anything else, absolutely. So I think that's first, kind of figuring out your budget and your expenses and knowing where your dollars are going. I know I'm always shocked at the end of the year when I look at kind of my budget and I'm like, oh my gosh, I spent X on food this year, or oh my gosh, Amazon.
Like, right?
All of those things that suddenly are like, that was much more than I expected, or much less.
And some of those weren't needs, I'm sure.
And many of those were once.
I know. That's a good way to put it, because what you're saying, you're not saying, I mean, some people maybe for a little while have to do like 10% of wants.
Correct.
Or less.
Or less.
But it's not saying that for the most people that you can never buy anything that you
it's
want.
It's just a general rule right. of thumb. And that's a really great segue. So two things. Then we
Thank
say.
Thank you. I'm a professional.
You're a professional. Next, I would say you focus on your emergency funds. Mm-hmm. So setting aside 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses. Again, especially if you have something in your home that comes up, a car breaks down, you lose your job, any of those things, those are your emergency dollars. You really don't tap for anything else. You leave them in your high-yield savings account. If you don't have one, get one, because they earn more than regular bank accounts are earning right now. So I think that's important.
And you really need to add up what your expenses are. And in that losing the job category, you're going to have to pay for your own insurance. Like, you have to really write that stuff out.
Really write that stuff out, yes. What that would look like if you, for some reason, found yourself suddenly without a job.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of that is, you know, God forbid you're in one of those circumstances, like a week before Christmas, our furnace went out. You know, that's wonderful to have happen here in the Midwest in December.
Right.
Right, but being prepared. If you're not unprepared for that, then you're turning to credit card debt. Because you have an immediate need, you have to take care of it, and then you're financing it. And you're financing it likely on high interest debt, which is not good.
Or you're pulling it out of your, that was money that you were putting in ETFs in your brokerage account that you had, that you were just playing like chicken money you were playing with, and you had a debt. Now you got to pay the tax on the capital gain you did just to pay for the furnace. No good. You got to triage your money in the right way.
Triage your money in the right way. So creating those perfect buckets, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is really kind of, I like to look at the steps, because we've got our budget, we have our emergency fund, then we work on paying down, if you have debt, right, that's a huge issue, work on paying down that bad debt. So we're looking at that 50-30-20 rule and where are these dollars going? And I would say once you have that emergency fund, you know, paying down debt is more of a need at that point, because if you're only paying your minimum payments, then, right, it snowballs, as we know, with credit card debt.
Can I just interrupt for 1 second?
Yes.
I know I like talking about finances to people at work. Iridian's heard me talk about it way too much. I'm not an expert. I just have listened to all of you guys, and I seem to know a lot. I have a coworker not here in another place, and she's doing great financially. She's so obsessed with saving as much as she can in her 401k. We were having a conversation. She obviously gets the match. She's been putting a ton in, and she's in her 20s. I'm like, this is awesome. Perfect. Then she told me, I still have about $8,000 on a credit card. And I was like, oh my gosh, stop right now. You need to get your match. Like, that's free money.
That's free money.
But oh my gosh, pay down that debt first.
You can do this without me.
No,
I don't know
no,
why.
Because
that's right where I was going.
But I guess, so that, and maybe, and please expand on it. The idea being that some people, I think, do focus on a long-term saving, and they're sitting there with credit card debt. It's like, wait, no, flip those around.
I would agree with you 100%. Put as much in if you have an employer-sponsored plan to take that match, because to your point, that is free money. So do that first.
Right.
And then do that first and then pay down the debt before you start putting extra away. I know the compounding money and the interest and all of that will grow on those assets, but you're getting the reverse problem on the other side.
Yes. To
a much higher percentage on the debt. So get rid of that debt. Now, we also talk about good debt. So you've got your mortgages. You might have student loans out there, depending on where you got them. If the rates are low, again, there's sort of an arbitrage there between your investment returns and what the rates are on your mortgage and things like that. But that's not bad debt. We're not talking about 25% interest rates here, like credit cards.
Right, exactly. Yes. Do you choose to pay off your mortgage faster or put a little more in your 401k? Those are legit conversations to have with an advisor.
Yeah.
Right, because...
And we'll model that out in our software to kind of show you exactly how long... Yeah.
Exactly.
Until you're equalized, yeah.
Anything else? I've stolen all your talking points, Tiffany.
No, I mean, I think that's important. Looking at what other employer benefits you may have, if that's HSAs, again, they might have a 401k, do they have a Roth version? Again, talking with your advisor, you can see what makes the most sense for you in your personal situation, but you want to look at that as well. And then after your retirement accounts, that's when we turn to kind of the taxable investment savings in your individual name.
Yeah. They're talking about like IRAs and Roth IRAs.
I'm saying after all that.
Brokerage accounts.
Then we're talking brokerage account.
ETFs,
I'm savings.
Yeah.
I'm buying ETFs. I'm doing all of this because I've maxed out everything I can max out everywhere else.
And if you're at that point, congratulations.
You're in a great spot. You're going to be in, yeah.
Nice
You'll
work.
You'll be just fine. Nice work. Exactly.
For the rest of us, we call Mesero and you help walk us through it. But, and again, I think that there is a snowball effect to some of this stuff. Getting just paying down that credit card can be this amazing feeling when you do it. Oh my gosh, I was used to paying an extra $400 a month to knock this down. Now what do I do with that $400? Oh, I'm going to pay myself even more first. And then that starts to add up, right? I mean, right. There's a snowball.
There is. And to your point, I went kind of in specific step order because people will say, well, do I build that emergency fund then or do I pay down my debt? No. You build the emergency fund.
Yes.
Because something could happen and then you're back to square one with credit card debt again. So that's why you're working on building that emergency fund first and then paying down that credit card debt.
I think that's really important because I think some people want to pay down the credit card debt faster, which is a great instinct, but they have $0 in their checking or savings account and they're in a bad spot. Maybe split those a little bit differently, right?
Right.
Grow this while at the same time bringing down your debt. Long way to say you guys help people out with all this stuff.
We do. We do. Absolutely. Financial planning and investment management are the two core areas we focus on for our clients, and we can't do a great job on the investment side if we don't understand your goals and objectives and build out a customized plan based on you and your family.
Exactly. I've heard the term, like, you don't want to be house poor. I don't think you want to be 401k poor either. Exactly. You need money in the meantime.
You need money in the meantime.
Absolutely. Anything else, Tiffany?
Oh, I would just say, in addition to kind of those cash flow basics we just went through there, just making sure you know and understand the basics of investing, whether that's through your advisor or doing some research on your own, because you're going to have to make choices within your retirement plans. You'll be making choices when you save and invest on your own. So John mentioned ETFs and some other items. So for some of you, an ETF, you're like, what is he talking about?
Right.
That's an exchange traded fund. So just kind of getting used to what the different investment options out there are available to you.
And be careful where you get your advice from. TikTok Absolutely. Can be great. There's some great accounts that teach some really good financial stuff. I'm not hurting you already. There are legit ones. There's other ones I just shake my head and go, well, this can't be right. So just talk to a professional.
Be careful. Talk to a professional, especially before you know, there are a lot of great classes out there you can take too. I don't want to take away from any of that. But, you know, if you're finding yourself in a situation where you're paying on a credit card to take an investment class, you may have other options.
Yeah, you do. 877-MESIRO, MESIROW.com. Happy birthday and enjoy the rest of February.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
That's Tiffany Irving. We'll do more podcasts next month in March. Take care, everyone.